Welcome to the City of Refuge podcast, where our mission is to equip a diverse community of Christ followers to make him known.
Well, good morning, City of Refuge. My name is John Igege. Yes, this is not Pastor Icky with a lot more melanin. This is really another person who has come to preach to you this morning. I serve the church as an elder, and contrary to Melvin's statement, I actually want to serve the church as an elder forever. But another encouragement, please fill out those nomination forms. This is a way that our church really brings the congregation into the process of leadership. We seek your wisdom. You are interacting with people in the congregation who you feel are qualified, are spirit-filled, and can help lead our church in the mission that God has given. So I just want to reiterate and ask and plead that you please nominate people. Over the last couple weeks, we've been asking that you ask those people and talk with those people before nominating them. So please engage with people who you feel will be great leaders for our church as deacons, deaconesses, and elders, and nominate them so that they can serve our church well. This morning, we will be continuing in the series. Pastor Icky is downstairs. He's having a series of meetings with parents of children who are in the children's ministry. So he'll be doing that at the 9:30 service and the 11 o'clock service. So I'm filling in for him. So he's asked me to preach about managing what belongs to God in our series, Relationships and Networks. Managing relationships and networks. And not by popular, this doesn't mean managing your relationship with Verizon or T-Mobile or how to kind of engage with them that way, but managing relationships and networks. Here's the big thing that we've been talking about with this series is that everything belongs to God, right? Everything belongs to God. And so if everything belongs to God, that means everything that we have as stewards. God has given it to us so that we can manage on his behalf. And one of the theme verses for the series is Psalm 24, verse 1, that says, "The earth is the Lord's and all that it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and those who dwell in it." So when we look at that verse and we take it apart piece by piece, it tells us that the world, everything physical, belongs to God. So for the last couple weeks, we've been talking about our stuff, our money, our property, the things that God has given to us to manage and to steward. But everything in it, the people and all who dwell in it, that's the second half of that verse. And so not only are the things that God has given to us for us to manage and steward, but also the people that God has given to us. God has given us things to manage, but God has also given to us networks and relationships to manage on his behalf. So think about it this way. Every relationship that you have is a gift from God. Every relationship that you have is a gift from God. Whether that's your relationship with your husband, your relationship with a friend, a relationship with a child, or a relationship with a church member. Every single relationship that God has given us is a gift. And if we're talking about stewardship, that means that every gift that God has given us is not our own, but belongs to God. And because it belongs to God, God is calling us to manage and to take care of those relationships in a way that brings out the best in the other person, but also in a way that serves God's purposes and God's glory in our world. So every relationship is a gift from God. And if we call ourselves Christ followers, then the implication for us in relationships means that every time I'm in relationship with another person who is a Christ follower, I'm always thinking, how does my interaction with this person actually help them to flourish? How does my interaction with this person help them become more whole? And how does my interaction with this person serve more than just myself and my selfish needs, but serve the purposes of God and his kingdom? So we'll look a little bit at that this morning. So first thing, let's start with God. perfect relationships that we have had as human beings always start with God. And that's because God in and of himself is a perfect relationship. We've talked about this a lot of times, and we declare this many, many times when we look at the creed that we recite every Sunday. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in perfect harmony and perfect relationship with one another. And out of the abundance of the love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's where God makes humanity. God makes human beings to reflect his glory and to also be in perfect relationship with one another, but also perfect relationship with God. And we see that when you look at the book of Genesis, where God walks and talks with Adam and Eve. That's how it describes the relationship that they had. But it also describes the relationship between Adam and Eve as a relationship in which they were naked and had no shame. That means their relationship was good. Their relationship with God was also good. Perfect love and relationships that went not only to the benefit of Adam and Eve, but to the benefit of the entire creation around them. The animals and the plants all experienced flourishing and wholeness because of the relationship that Adam had with his wife Eve and that Eve had with Adam. But if you're like me, you know that something has happened to that perfect picture of relationships, right? There's a sense of guilt that we see in our world today. When we look at relationships that are meant to be life-giving and relationships that are meant to lift us up to a place where we are serving God with the relationships we have, we know that our world is not the way that it's supposed to be. The relationships that God has given to us that are meant to be life-giving to us, the relationships that God has given to us that are meant to lift us up, a lot of times we feel like those relationships are actually the things that weigh us down, right? If we're honest about our relationships, it's really hard to enter into relationships in that way, a way that is life-giving and perfect for us. So let's take a look at our story today. We're going to the book of Esther. And I'll just give you a little background about this story. I love the book of Esther. My mom's name is Esther, but that's not exactly why I love the book of Esther. I love the book of Esther because it's a book of many, many paradoxes. This is a book where the name God is not mentioned at all. So here we have a book in the Bible where God is not mentioned at all. But as you read this book, it is evident that God's fingerprints are all over the actions of individuals and the things that are going on in the book. You can see things here and there where you're just like, oh, that had to be God working in the heart of this person. Or that's God, even if he's in the background and he's not mentioned, that's God working. So Esther is a Jewish exile. She's been taken from her homeland and transported to a new kingdom. And this kingdom that she's in is the kingdom of Persia. And this is a vast kingdom. In fact, if you read the book of Esther, it says it stretches all the way from India to, I think it's Ethiopia. So a very, very big kingdom. And the king of this kingdom rules and reigns in a city that's called Susa. That's in the modern day, I think it's in modern day Iran. And he rules and he reigns. And so this is not a good king at all. This is a king who just loves to party. He's a king who loves to drink and get drunk. And this king, one night as he is in one of his drunken kind of stages, he sends for his queen. His queen's name is Vashti. So he sends for her and he's like, hey, I'm king of this vast kingdom. And because I'm king of this vast kingdom, I can do whatever I want. So I'm going to send for my wife, the queen, and ask her to come so I can show her off to all the nobles and all the princes that have come from all these different places. And of course, Vashti says, not having it. And the king is furious. He's enraged and he doesn't know what to do. And so he consults with his council. And he says, please tell me what I'm supposed to do. And then they give him this really, really bad advice. They tell him, hey, sign a decree that says that all men are supposed to be masters of their households. So you see in that decree, broken relationships, a king and a queen who are supposed to be working really hard together for the wholeness and the flourishing of their kingdom. Now there is this enmity between them that they can't even sit on the same page. And this king feels like he can lord it over his queen. Well, so the brokenness kind of continues, broken relationships. Esther shows up in this story because her cousin, Mordecai, has taken on the relationship with her as a father. Esther's parents have died, and she's now an orphan. And so Mordecai, her cousin, takes her under his wing as a daughter. And he sees this opportunity where the king is now looking for a new queen. And he says to Esther, I'm going to put you into pretty much this beauty pageant. A beauty pageant that's touring from place to place in the kingdom. And he says, I want you to be in this beauty pageant so that you can someday become the queen of this kingdom. And of course, the favor of the Lord is on Esther, and she shines and outshines all the other people that have been brought from other parts of the kingdom. And the king sees her, and he is so captured by her. And he says, you know what? That's going to be my next queen. And so Esther becomes the queen of this kingdom. But here's one thing that Mordecai tells Esther as she's going in to be queen. He tells her, don't let anybody know that you are a Jew. Like, keep your identity under wraps. Keep your identity under wraps. And so there again, we see brokenness in that relationship where Esther, the queen, the most powerful woman in the kingdom, has to hide a part of who she is because she's afraid that if the king knows who she is, he might not accept her and he might actually kill her. And so she keeps that under wraps. Anyway, a lot of things happen in this story, and some more brokenness kind of comes into relationships. There's a guy named Haman. Haman is just a guy who does not like the Jews at all. Haman is a descendant of the Canaanites. And so Haman is kind of like walking around. He's a very proud dude. And he goes up and makes this kind of edict that says that everybody, because he's so close to the king and so powerful, everybody has to bow down to him whenever they see him. And of course, Mordecai is having none of that, right? Mordecai is like, I'm a good Jew. I worship God alone. I do not bow down to any man. And so Mordecai does not bow down to him. So this guy gets really angry. He gets really angry at Mordecai. He's a Canaanite. Mordecai is a Jew. And instead of just being angry at Mordecai, what he says is, you know what? I'm so angry with this one person that I'm actually going to make a way to eliminate everybody who is a Jew in this kingdom. So he goes to the king and he kind of convinces the king to make this rule that says everybody who does not worship the king should be put to death on a certain date. And that's where we enter into our passage for today. Mordecai and Esther have heard this news that the whole kingdom is going to be purged of people who are Jewish. And that's where we enter into our passage today. So Esther chapter 4. Esther 4. Now Mordecai, who had given this commandment to Esther, says to her, you know what? Forget all that I told you about not being a Jew, because things don't look very good for us right now. Things are not looking good for us. The first goodness of our relationships and networks we see in our world are broken and tainted by sin. So Mordecai told them to reply to Esther and says, you know what, Esther, I need you as queen of this land to use your relationship with the king and the network and the influence that you have over this entire kingdom to bring about God's salvation for the Jewish people. Bring about God's salvation for the Jewish people. Now, of course, Esther is afraid. Esther is afraid because, number one, the king of this kingdom, her relationship as husband and wife with this person is not one where she can just go up to the king and be like, hey, let me send the king a WhatsApp message, find out what he's doing, and just kind of communicate to him my desires. The king is a person who can only be approached if the king summons you. The king is also a person who can only be approached after he summons you and feels like he wants to actually see you. So he extends his scepter out to you. And that's when you know that you can approach the king. So what Mordecai is asking of Esther is a very, very huge task. He's pretty much asking her to put her life in danger in order to save the Jewish people. And of course, Esther replies and says to him, "I don't know if I can do this. I'm afraid." And his reply to her was, do not think that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. Do not think that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. And then he has this very chilling word that he delivers in the next verse where he says to her, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will come to the Jews from another place." In other words, he's telling her the networks and the relationships that God has given you as queen of this kingdom are not just for you and your father's household and your own purposes. God has bigger purposes with which he wants to use the networks and the relationships and the status that he has given you as a queen for the salvation of his people. Church, we can apply that to ourselves today. If we apply that to ourselves today, and I'm just going to keep this very local to our church. If we're talking about stewarding relationships, then every single relationship that we have in this church is a gift from God. And there is something that God wants to do with the relationships that he has given us. And he wants us to steward those relationships, not just for our own salvation or the salvation of our families, but for the salvation of vast numbers of people, for the transformation of this world. And I deliver that chilling word to us at City of Refuge today as well, saying that City of Refuge, if we remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will come from another quarter of the world. If our church that is diverse in every way, a church that has people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation, is silent at this time about racism that we see in our world, relief and deliverance will come for our world from another place. If our church that is diverse socioeconomically is silent at this time about how God has placed resources within us so that every single one of his children can flourish, relief and deliverance will come to people who are poor from another place. If our church that is diverse politically and has people who are Republican and Democrat and independent and people like me who don't even fit into any one of those categories is silent at this time where people don't even know how to talk to each other and disagree with each other in a way that breeds the love and grace and truth of Jesus Christ, deliverance will come to our world from another place. Church, may we not be silent in this time. May we not be silent in this time because we know that we have been given the grace of Jesus Christ. God can use stones to accomplish his purposes, but far be it from us that God would choose a stone over living stones of people who are sitting in the pews of this congregation. Perhaps, Queen Esther, you have risen to your status as queen for such a time as this. Perhaps, City of Refuge, God has placed you as a member of this church for such a time as this. Perhaps God has placed you in a relationship with a person from another race for such a time as this. Perhaps God has brought you as a student who is studying to be a medical doctor to interact with people who are doctors in this church for such a time as this. Perhaps God has brought you as a person who lives in the suburbs to interact with people who live in the inner city and form a relationship that speaks of the goodness of Jesus Christ and speaks of a kingdom where the ground is level at the foot of the cross for such a time as this. Delivery can come to our world from another place. But City of Refuge, the Lord is doing something great and mighty at our church with the relationships and the networks that are in this place. Not just for our individual salvation, not just for the status of our church to be known around our city, but for the salvation of humanity. God is doing an amazing thing with the relationships and networks in this church. It is marvelous in our sight. And we know that we have a different kind of king. Not the kind of king that Esther had, where she had to be summoned into his presence. We have a king in Jesus Christ who has come down to our presence and has lived among us. He lived among us and took on flesh and declared as he did that he is one with us. And we do not have to wait for the king to summon us to come into his presence. But we can enter into the throne room of God with confidence so that we can receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And we have a king whose scepter is not of gold, but whose scepter is made of wood. The cross of Jesus Christ is the scepter of our heavenly king. And as he extends his cross to us, he says to us, come as you are, but don't expect to stay that way. Come as you are, and I will change you and make you into something radically different. Something that our world has never known, not just for your personal salvation, but for the salvation of other people. Come as you are and submit to me at the foot of the cross, and I will use those relationships and those networks to make my kingdom grow, to make the Third Ward a place that is flourishing, to make the OST South Union neighborhoods places that are redeemed and restored and renewed, to make the medical center not just be about healing people's bodies, but also healing people's souls. We are a church that is uniquely placed. Not just in the relationships that are here, like literally, this place that we sit in has the power to be the epicenter of a movement that God will use to spark change and renewal and wholeness in his world. Here we sit at the border of the OSD South Union, Third Ward, and the Texas Medical Center. What is it that God wants to use with this unique place that we have? This place of royalty. This place where everybody finds level ground at the foot of the cross. Whether we are white or black or Hispanic or Asian or Native American. Whether we grew up in the U.S. or we have passports that are from outside. Whether we are rich or poor. What is it that God wants to do by bringing all of us to this place? City of Refuge, for such a time as this, God has made this church. And because God has made this church, he is using our relationships and restoring us relationships for his glory. So how should we react to that? As followers of Jesus Christ, we must steward our relationships and networks for the sake of the gospel and the sake of kingdom expansion. If your relationship is not your own, but belongs to God, then we must steward those relationships for the sake of the gospel and the expansion of God's kingdom. And don't be afraid. The God of the universe who calls you to steward those relationships is the same God who walks with you every day. Through the power of God's Holy Spirit, God is empowering you and I to look at our networks, look at our relationships, and say, how is it that God is calling me and empowering me to use this relationship to spread the good news that God became a human being and came and dwelt among us? He showed us what it was like to fully live a life that is human and alive. And for the debt that humanity could never pay, he went to the cross. But that was not the end. He rose on the third day and has extended that gift, extended that relationship, extended his own networks as the King of the universe to us as his church, and has said to us, deliverance will not come from another place. Deliverance will come from my church. This is God's church, and on his church, God will build his church, and God will bring us to places where we really use and steward our relationships and our networks to spread that good news to those who don't know it, and to build a kingdom where nobody has to be afraid and everybody has what they need. Because of the beauty of the cross, the ground is level. Because of the beauty of the cross, every relationship in here can be used for God's glory. Because of the beauty of the cross, our networks will extend farther than T-Mobile or Verizon or Sprint until the glory of God covers the earth as the water covers the sea. Bring you this message in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.